Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Final hour of Fans in the Pros. Deuce McAllister and I here with you till 7 o'clock tonight. Had a full show so far. Talked about this crazy incident last night. Browns-Steelers game. Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely. Larry Ogunjobi got a game. Marquise Pouncey, three games. So we talked about that. We stirred up all kinds of trouble with that. And then we started talking about the Saints a little bit. Talked about last week briefly. But we want to jump to the phone lines, get some thoughts. A couple of you guys want to talk about getting mentally ready, getting back into that mindset. Curious what you guys have to say about that. Let's go to Carl up in Covington. Carl, how you doing tonight, man?
All right, good guys. Deuce and Zach, y'all, two of my favorite players, two of my favorite personalities on the radio.
Thank you, Carl.
Here's what I got to say. We're going to be fine. I've been going to the Saints games since I was 11. I've seen the Falcons beat a 62-0 in Tulane Stadium. I've never been to a Saints game where I went there and said, I'm expecting them to lose. So I never would do that. And I think we're going to be fine. Eli Apple's going to step up. Everybody's going to step up and do their job. So here's what I got to say, too, about the bump in the road last week. I do construction work, okay? One guy gives me 30 days to do a job, and I get ahead of the job. I might take a coffee break more than I normally do. One guy gives me a job to do, 30 days to do it, but he wants me to be productive every day. Don't take no break. So you got to do what you got to do on your job like the Saints have to do. They got a little lack in luster on there because they got ahead of the game. They're going to be fine.
Carl, appreciate the phone call. I agree with what you said. I think that's all good stuff. A very reasonable caller there, Deuce. Carl, good job. Reggie D in the Ninth Ward, go to the North Shore to the South Shore. Reggie, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, you know what, bro? Welcome to the show. You know, it's Reggie D from the Ninth Ward. You heard? I got to tell you something, and I want all the Saints fans to understand something. I'm a Drew Brees fan. I love Drew Brees. I'm not going to lie to you. But I got to tell you something. If your car is running good, would you change the tire? No, you wouldn't. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm just going to allude to you and say this. You look like a statue back there. He can't run. He has no mobility. He has no arm strength. The 49ers traded Joe Montana to the Kansas City Chiefs. Why? Because they moved on. You did what you had to do. It's fine. But you just got to go on, say, look, the future is here. Now we just, it's strictly a business right now. You win, I can sell beer. The fans happy. The fans gonna buy hot dogs, hamburgers, peanuts. If they don't win, you can't get a beer away. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Reg.
I think Reggie left.
I'm listening.
Oh, there he
Reg.
Is. All right.
So you put that loss strictly on Drew Brees?
I put it on Drew Brees because Brees has no mobility in his leg.
I understand. He has never been a quarterback that was going to run, though, Reggie. That's the thing. I mean, so to have no mobility in his legs now, he didn't have it 15 years ago when he first came into the league. You know, so we can't go with that argument.
You're making my point. You absolutely making my point. He has no mobility. Never did.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, Reggie. Never with any mobility.
I say he never had no mobility, and it shows now. He's like a Statue of Liberty back there.
But what does that have to do with distributing the football?
Because he can't move. If you're a quarterback, let me allude something to you so you'll know. Because I've been on the show with Deke Bellafina. I've been actually at y'all radio show at WWL.
What that got to do with on the field, though?
It's because he don't have the legs to move. look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Aaron Rodgers. He buys time. He buys time. Look at Dak Prescott. He buys time. Drew Brees does not buy no time.
Reggie, let me ask you a question. Who's the least sacked quarterback in the National Football League over the last 14 seasons?
Who's the least
sacked? Least sacked quarterback in the National Football League since 2006. Who is it?
It's Drew Brees.
It's Drew Brees. No. Wait. I'll tell you exactly why. Yeah, he's a pocket passer who gets rid of the football on time. That's why.
He throws on time.
Yeah, that's his job.
Wait, but there's defensive coordinators that look at the film and they analyze and they say, well, look, this cat not really going to throw deep on us.
Reggie, let me ask you another question.
How many shots did the Saints take?
Let me ask you this question. I want to know this. 34 of 43, 373 yards, 3 touchdowns. Is that good enough to win football games in the National Football League today?
I got to say one more thing. I love Drew Brees, but Charles Barkley made an analogy that made sense to me. You only got so many jumps in your legs. You only got so many throws in your arm. He's breaking his record every time he throws.
Did we throw an interception?
Arm is weak.
Reggie,
his arm is weak.
Did we throw an interception? Did we have an interception?
No,
did I miss some plays of that game?
I'm talking about the deep ball. I'm talking about the 60 yards, the bomb. You know what the bomb is?
They had one bomb. They had one bomb they didn't complete. They had one bomb.
You know what the bomb is?
All right,
Reggie. Throw the bomb. He can't throw the bomb, sir.
All right. All right, Reggie. That's an old, tired argument that has been proven wrong literally for about 5 seasons now. It's the same argument my guy Anthony's been making for like 9 years now. Anthony, I'm not going to put you on the phone. I don't have the patience to deal with.
Anthony been gone for 18 weeks.
Anthony has been completely – he's gone completely missing for the last 2 years. But he's back because his argument, he feels, has been confirmed again, and Anthony will be proven wrong again. Drew Brees doesn't need to run around a field to make passes. Drew Brees did not lose that football game last week. Did any Saints players play well enough to win last week? No.
No.
It's on all of them. It's
exactly.
On every one of them.
Exactly.
And listen, Mike Thomas caught 13 of 14 balls. Is that a fair statement? Sorry, life ain't fair. Nobody played well enough. They sure didn't protect him well enough. We sure didn't defend the run well enough. We sure weren't disciplined enough. It's the same thing that always happens. When it's great, he gets too much credit. When it's bad, he gets too much criticism. It's a team game. 22 guys on the field. When we come back, we'll jump back on the phone lines. You're listening to Fans and the Pros here on WWO. WWL is your high school football headquarters. Who will be the first non-select number one seed to lose in the playoffs? Acadiana, Lakeshore, St. James, Faraday, West St. John. None of them will lose. Tune in tonight from 7 to 10:30 for the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Alan Waddell and Brad Lumine will provide you with the most comprehensive high school football coverage in America. We'll have prep reporters providing live updates from all the big playoff games, including Holy Cross versus St. Paul's, Carr versus Cecilia, Slidell versus Como, Ruston versus Dutchtown, and many more. Local coaches including Nick Monica from Rummel, Mark Sanji from Jesuit, Dwayne Jenkins from Lusher, and other will also join the show. We'll have scoreboard updates on games being played throughout the state, as well as interviews with winning coaches. If you love high school football, don't miss the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, 7 to 10:30 tonight on WWLAMFM.com and the Radio.com app. Those guys will be up following us at 7 o'clock. Alan Waddell, Brad Lumine do a great job on that show every week. It's what I listen to on my ride home as I try to learn the names of all the high schools in the state. Spelling and pronunciation, we don't follow all the normal guidelines down here. You know what I mean, dude? So I'm constantly trying to wipe my northern roots out of my system. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's some good high school football, and I'm excited about the high school football kicking off and starting. And, you know, let's see who can get hot at the right time, or will talent, just pure talent, be able to win out?
We'll see. We will see. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. I'll tell you what. We got to go to this. Jeff and Ponchatoula, he's been waiting to talk to Deuce pretty much the entire show. We hadn't really gotten to college football yet, but Jeff, thank you for holding. The floor is yours, buddy.
I want to speak to Deuce McAllister, please.
Got him. Okay, hold on. Let me get him. Deuce, the phone's for you.
Appreciate it. How you doing, Mr. Jeff?
I'm doing good, Mr. Deuce. Deuce, I had two questions for you and one for Zach, and they'll be real quick.
Go ahead.
But first of all, I wanted to tell you, I really appreciate Mark Menard not saying dilly-dilly anymore. It sounds so silly. But I wanted to ask you, what is it going to take? My first question, what is it going to take for us to beat LSU tomorrow night? And secondly, I wanted to say, Deuce, you've been a Louisiana resident for a long time, and you've been working at WWL, and you've been reporting on LSU. Do you have any mixed emotions on this game tomorrow? And those are the two questions I had for you. And for Zach, who do you think is going to win the game tomorrow between LSU and Ole Miss? And I'll hang up and listen.
Zach, you go first.
Hard to watch the Tigers this year and go against them against Ole Miss. Now, listen, Ole Miss put some points up. They could put some points up. They got an offense out there. I'm trying to give you something. Yeah, I think it might get a little bit ugly.
Yeah. Look, I'm not conflicted. You know, I definitely would love for Ole Miss to win, but, you know, at the same time, you just look at the matchups. They don't have the numbers. You talk about they don't have the overall athletes, and that's what I mean when they don't have the numbers. And, you know, LSU would literally have to give the game away, and they would have to suffer, you know, some guys, major guys getting hurt to kind of swing the pendulum towards Ole Miss's way, and they got to play perfect. You talking about doing some things that they hadn't done all year, and you just don't see them doing it. And yeah. You know, you talk about being perfect kicking field goals. You're talking about having to have a some type of punt return or kickoff return, a fumble return. I mean, you need at least two scores the non-conventional way and in the return game or some type of pick six. That has to happen, I mean, because I just don't see them being able to put up the points that they're going to need to put up against that that LSU offense. So, you know, you got to have a lot to break your way in that game, and you know, we don't have the horses to be able to run with them.
Yeah.
And so my one of my younger sons was in here earlier and he heard the promo on the radio, and he was immediately, he's conflicted. You know, he has this conflicted look on his face. He's like, oh, no, you know, Ole Miss is playing LSU. And Daddy's rule is we always pull for the home team. Well, like he said, I've been here for almost 20 years, right, at 18 years in Louisiana. And, you know, he's we pull for LSU, you know, but they're playing Ole Miss. And I know that's Daddy's team, you know, and Zach picked at him. You have Ole Miss colors on, and he looks at him, I sure do. You know, and
he looked a little disappointed in himself, right? Well, he's like, he got me.
He got me, and I don't know if we're going to be able to pull for LSU tomorrow. I said, baby, it's okay. You know, you can pull for LSU tomorrow, even though they're playing Ole Miss. So,
that's right.
It's going to take a lot to happen, though, but still excited.
Listen,
to see
we told him Baylen Breeze came to a Saints game in a Giants jersey because he's a OBJ fan, right?
Uh-huh.
Drew Brees is, you know, own son. There's room for the other team. I mean, it is what it is, right? It's all right. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Marty, let me find you here. Marty out in Metairie, how you doing tonight? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call,
sure,
guys. You're very magnanimous, and that was very tactful of you. I wish him luck with his Ole Miss.
Well, I appreciate it, Marty.
You guys really handled that well, because there's no way he could leave that phone call without his with his feelings being hurt because you handled him so well, guys.
Yeah.
but anyway, not counting that call, the calls before, it's funny. One loss and all of Buddy D's squirrels seem to find their way to the phone lines. I just don't get it. Let me tell you, unless I'm wrong, maybe I'm wrong, correct me. In that game, in the last game, the one we just lost to the Falcons, I think one of the offensive players of the year is our rookie center. And am I wrong that he wasn't in, he was injured?
No, he played last week. Andrews P got hurt, yeah. Left guard got hurt in the game.
Andrews P was out. Okay, I was wondering what the status – what is the status of our offensive line now?
Yeah, so it was reported this week Andrews broke his arm. He's out for at least 6 weeks, and so there'll be a fill in there at left guard. Teron Armstead was also sick in that game. Going in, he had the flu last week. I don't know if any. I got the flu in the bye week, and it absolutely. Yeah. I was a wreck. And
let me
so,
tell you.
Yeah, it's not easy, right? I mean, you wish you could just like. You know, strap him up and go out at 50% and play well. And I think Toronto would be the first to say that, you know, he didn't play up to his normal standard. So, you know, kind of, a little bit of a dent over there on the left side.
Well, one thing I do love, and I know what you're talking about. I got two kids in my family that's got the flu now. It's just absolutely miserable. But I got to tell you one thing I do love. I haven't heard one complaint about that kind of stuff from our team. I mean, they got it, but no one's using it. Everyone, including Drew, is kind of take it, hey, it was an off week. Let's just go get it this week. And I love that attitude. And there's a lot of teams that do not have that attitude.
Yeah, listen, yeah. You know, Marty, first of all, there's really good leadership in that building, right? There really is. There's a lot of good leaders. And I think, you know, even all the way up from the top, I think guys that come in that building, even early, you know, guys that have just been here for 6 months or just, you know, just in the building, really respect Sean Payton, really respect Drew Brees, respect DeMario Davis. And, you know, those messages that happen inside the building, I think they carry a lot of weight. And there's places where that's not the case. You know, I mean, we were talking about Cleveland earlier. I'm sorry, but there's guys in that building that don't respect Freddie Kitchens. They just don't. And it's one of the issues of being a young coach. You have to earn that. You know, we saw.
And you can't hide it.
No, you can't at all. And so I think, you know, this team is – listen, this is not the – if this is the adversity from the season, well, then awesome. We'll see you guys in February. We're going to win a Super Bowl. If that's the adversity. I mean, adversity comes in every year, and Sean talks about it every year. Every single team deals with adversity at some point. It's the teams that succeed, it's how do you deal with it, right? How do you turn around and fix or handle those problems and what comes out of it? And, you know, this team is really – poised to take advantage of the lesson, the medicine that they took last week.
I've never seen a next man up team do better than these guys have done this year, whether it's sickness or injury or what. Nobody can argue that about our team. You said that really, really nicely. Thank you.
All right, Marty. Appreciate the phone call, man. Yeah. Teams that have leadership overcome these moments. Now, you'd also say teams with leadership don't want to have games where they lay eggs like that.
Correct.
And yet it happens. Because there's only – we talked earlier about the emotional kind of reality of getting ready for a game. Sometimes the rah-rah doesn't work either.
Rah-rah doesn't work. You got to go out and make plays.
Mm-hmm.
At
yeah.
some point, you got to go out and make plays. And sometimes you just can't do anything right. And there's a reason that there's only been one undefeated team. Now, a lot of teams have come close. Well, one team, being New England, has come close. But, I mean, you look at the parity throughout the NFL, it's tough to do.
Yeah,
it is tough to do to be go out there and be perfect. But you know, at the end of the day, we didn't win. And there's a lot of different reasons why we didn't win. And I think it's a team effort in that total loss for that team as well.
Yeah. Joey out in Pearl River, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing great, man. What do you got?
You guys take a break for a second. I'd like to talk to Lee, you know, the guy with the Drew Brees problem. Listen, Lee, last night you had a Heisman Trophy winning 23-year-old quarterback that's got legs of a gazelle and rifle for an arm. But one of the color analysts on radio made the astute observation that every time he leaves the pocket, he goes to his right. He goes to his right. He never steps up in the pocket. But once he learns to step up, climb up in the pocket like Drew Brees does, like Aaron Rodgers does, you know, the field opens up to them most of the time. You guys agree?
Yeah. Being mobile, I mean, mobile is becoming a more popular thing because that's what offenses in college necessitate. So there's going to be more mobile quarterbacks. Drew Brees, believe this or not, played in college in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It was a different time. Different time.
Yeah, and you know, your mobile quarterback, like RG3, Washington Redskins, where is he now? What's he doing now? You know, he's third string on someone else's roster.
Yeah, listen, mobile quarterback, I have no problem with mobile quarterback. They are the wave of the future. The quarterbacking in the NFL is going to move to a far more mobile version of quarterbacks, and there's a lot of reasons for that, none bigger than the fact that that's what college offenses are using. So the guys that are coming in developed are used to standing 5 yards deep, catching shotgun snaps, and throwing to four receivers. So the mobility being back there is becoming more and more prevalent. It's going to continue to be more prevalent in the National Football League. That doesn't mean that you can't be successful standing in the pocket and throwing the ball. And I think that's the problem that we have with the statement that, of course, he's not doing well. Drew Brees is not mobile.
But, Zach, as an offensive lineman, isn't it easier or a lot more productive as a group playing together when you know you've got a quarterback that's going to first take that option of stepping up inside, then escaping either left or right?
Yeah, there's no question. As an offensive lineman, it's more advantageous to have a quarterback that you know where he is because you can't see him. So you'll see all the times, you know, a quarterback try to escape somewhere and kind of get caught up and sacked. And, again, there's a reason why Drew Brees is the least sacked quarterback in the National Football League since he's been with the Saints. We've had some good lines, but Drew Brees is a master at having pocket presence, at being in the right place, and at making the guys around him better by being consistent and being in the area where we think he's at.
Okay, and to back you up, what you were saying to Lee about the sacks, the least sacked quarterback, last week, when Aaron Rodgers had to play the Chargers, he couldn't step up in the pocket because the Chargers realized that that's what he wants to do, and they collapsed the center of the pocket. So he had one of his worst games in the league history. So, you know, it just goes to show that if you've got a quarterback that wants to stay in the pocket, you know, and only bail if necessary, he's going to, you know, his longevity in the league will probably be, a little longer. You know, look at Brady. Brady used to get pummeled in the, you know, trying to stay in the pocket. But look at his longevity. I mean.
Listen, the guys that are running around are going to take more hits. There's no question that that's going to happen. The wave of the future is still of quarterbacks that can use their legs to make plays. It's inevitable. That's exactly what's already happening in the National Football League. We're watching it this year. We're watching Lamar Jackson, a guy who experts, I'm using my air quotes in the studio, you know, said, hey, this guy's a wide receiver. Just switch now. Don't even bother, right? Times are changing. It does not mean that Drew Brees is not still effective because he stands in the pocket and throws the football. That's one of the great things about the NFL is that every shape, size, and style of athlete has a place and can play and be successful in the National Football League.
You better have a system. That's at the end of the day. You better have a system, but his legs don't work. So,
absolutely. Just got a text in the text line. Are we going to go see the Kiss concert in Biloxi in March? Deuce?
Let me check my calendar there. I don't think Kiss is going to be on that agenda. But, you know, if March 15th, that's a ways away. I'll get back with you. That's close to the odds.
Yes. Yes. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it, Deuce. We'll see if we can get out there. All right. Thanks for the call, Joey. More Fans in the Pros when we return here on WWO. WWO invites you to the magic of Christmas Marketplace today, tomorrow, and Sunday at the Ilario Center on the West Bank. Get a jump start on your holiday shopping all in one spot with over 100 vendors, each with amazing gifts like fantastic local art, crafts, and decorations, handcrafted jewelry, deliciously sensuous candles, bath and body products, plus tons of black and gold gifts too. And for the kids, all the toys they're hoping for, and appearances by Santa and other Christmas characters. Shop local, all in one spot. The magic of Christmas Marketplace. Free admission and parking today, tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 5:30, and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Ilario Center, West Bank Expressway in West Wego. Happy holiday shopping from our sister station, Magic 101.9, and all of us at WWL. Have you started your Christmas shopping yet?
Not technically. I mean, when are you supposed to wait that? Thanksgiving, Black Friday? Before
Well, it's a short distance because it's a late Thanksgiving this year. There's only like 3 weeks. It's like 3.5 weeks.
So you started Christmas shopping at Halloween?
I started about a week ago.
Halloween just passed.
With my hard ones. You know the people that are hard, right?
Yeah.
I'm hard.
I'm hard. What do you want? You can get anything that you want. That's all what you hear.
So who's your hardest one? Who's the one that you're buying for? It's like, oh.
It's probably your parents.
Your parents?
Yeah.
I mean, so mine is my father-in-law. And my wife's family has given up completely, right? They're like, we're done. When he wants it, he goes and gets it. There's nothing left.
Correct.
Right? So they put it on me. So now not only do I have to buy our gift to my father-in-law, I have to find the stuff
that they
for the other people as well. I have to send them ideas. So I got to get a big jump start on my father-in-law. Who, by the way, here's a good side note, because we got some text lines about squirrels, right? I know that was a Buddy D thing, all the squirrels, which I don't think we had a lot of squirrels. So we might have had one squirrel. But my father-in-law, after Saints games, they said they used to call into the station and basically prank as people who were not actually, I mean, they were, it was made up, right?
Right.
So they would call in and they'd use their little accents and they'd ask really stupid questions just so that Buddy D would call them a squirrel and they'd get all excited. I told him, that's so mature of you.
Well, technology's changed a little bit. You know, we got this, a little bit better technology where you can kind of trace some things and figure out some things, but it's always interesting.
Yeah.
Always interesting.
Always good stuff. So, yes, Now, it sounds like you're the guy that you're like, listen, Thanksgiving has to happen before Christmas begins.
I don't even want to see Christmas decorations up.
You're my guy.
Until after Thanksgiving.
You're my guy. Listen, my wife has wanted to decorate for Christmas since
Halloween.
August 8th.
Yeah, so right? Halloween
can you
passes.
Can you get the Christmas decorations down?
Can you get the – we need a real tree.
I said it's 94 degrees still.
The tree going to die. We need a real tree. The tree going to die. It's too hot.
Right.
You know, and so, man, let some of the other holidays pass before you get to the Christmas. And so it's always interesting. At least you better enjoy this cold weather right now, because by the time Christmas comes, it's going to be 85 degrees back in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Those Christmas sweaters become cut-off Christmas sweaters usually here. Sometimes you jump off topic a little bit. It is my favorite, though. We are, I've confirmed, we do have a place for Thanksgiving. I know a lot of people are probably really worried about us. Calling the game on Thanksgiving night.
Nobody wants worried about us.
Going to visit John Stinchcomb and his family, Allie, Mason, Emily Gray, their whole fam. We're going to go and visit them. They're going to eat early, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I still need that moved up, remember? I mean, that stretch, we're going to have to – because I can't take no nap if it's 1 o'clock.
You can nap on the way back.
I'm to my –
I'll get us a car, and you can nap in the car on the way back.
To-go plate, and then, you know, you had to nap in between your dinner, your meals, man. You know, you eat one time, take a little nap, and then eat again, and then you got a to-go plate.
Do you think that it would be mean of me to get a driver so that we knew? Because John kind of lives out in the boonies. Yeah, he's out in Lawrenceville.
Right.
It's far away, so I want to make sure we're on time and we got a guy kind of waiting for us. But then that's Thanksgiving.
They going to be making money. People.
You think that's okay?
They going to charge us for it, too.
Man, I don't want to be a jerk.
They going to charge us for it, too. They going to let us know how much they love us, because it ain't going to be –
It won't be free, that's for sure.
It won't be free. It won't be cheap.
We'll make sure and bring them a plate, right? We'll bring
the
him a
driver?
Plate. Yeah, driver. We'll bring him a plate. We'll bring him a plate.
The driver probably ain't going to work after the game that night.
Yeah. All right, Deuce. Wasted that entire segment.
Yeah, we got to get back to work.
Winding down here. When we come back, we're going to go through our predictions for the week. Saints, Bucks, LSU, You're the Rebels.
Go
again?
Ahead now, don't you?
Are you
start.
The Rebel? You're the Land Sharks.
We're the Rebels. We're the Land Sharks. That's us. That's still us.
Okay,
both
right.
of them.
Well, we'll talk about those when we come back. Fans and the Pros on WWO. Deuce and I winding down here. Going to do some predictions. Deuce, let's start out on the college field. LSU, Ole Miss. By the way, our coverage starts tomorrow at 2:00. So don't miss that here. You can also remember you get the stream anywhere on any device on WWO.com and the radio.com app. That kickoffs at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Deuce, who you got?
LSU.
Do you want to? I'm not going to ask you to put a number, a spread on that.
Nah. I won't, but I'm going with LSU.
All right, so I'm going to give you a little bit. I think it'll be a little bit of a letdown game for LSU, but I say Tigers by 24.
And that's a letdown for you?
I think so, yeah. I think they should beat Ole Miss by 40-something.
So you would regularly say 40, and instead you're going to go with 24?
Yes. All right. Saints-Bucks.
Saints by 10.
Saints by 10. I think it'll be a big rebound game for the Saints. I like your spread there. I'll stick with you, Deuce. With 10, we want to thank all of you tonight. We had great interaction, enjoyed the calls and the texts, lots of stuff going on, and hope you guys enjoyed the show. We also want to thank our guy Mark Menard in the box. There it is, the Ole Miss fight song. That a boy. Go get him, Deuce. Can you sing it?
Negative.
Come on, you know the fight song.
We better get. I mean, we're not gonna hear it a lot, so you better get. You better listen to it now, baby. Enjoy it.
All right, buddy.
Senior night.
Good luck, senior night at Ole Miss.
Senior night.
All right. Well, that's too bad.
At least it's not homecoming.
At least it's not homecoming. Wait, glass half full, Mark. I appreciate that, buddy. All right, all of you, stay tuned. Again, the All-State Sugar Bowl prep football roundup playoffs are beginning here in Louisiana. It'll be great stuff, Alan Waddell. We'll be hosting that show along with Brad Lumine. Thank you all for joining us. This has been Fans and the Pros on WWL.